What's up? This is Boovies on Up, and it's October, our favorite month of the year. So sit back, join us month-long as we talk about a lot of horror movies.
What's up? This is Boovies on Up, episode 3 in our trek from 50 to 1.
Week 2.
Week 2, episode 3, in our journey from the 50th best horror movie of all time up to number 1. And by the time we are done with this episode, we're going to be exactly halfway home. If you're decent at math, that should let you know that we're going to run through movies 30 through 26. A man who is always number 1 on my list, Mr. Dave Bacella, seated right across from me.
That's me.
That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Boovies on Up, and our number 30 favorite horror movie of all time is one that's really only appeared on Dave's list, and it is a South Korean movie from 2016, Train to Busan, directed by Sang-ho Yun, starring Yu-gong, Yu-mi-gung, and Dong-seok Ma. How about that?
If you have not seen this movie, watch this movie. When it comes to zombie movies, this is one of the most gut-wrenching, emotional, well-done zombie movies in a while. You know, it's not necessarily a bottle movie. It doesn't all take place on the train. It does start off as a zombie movie on a train, but transitions into so much more, and it has all the elements of what makes a great zombie movie, where the stakes are really high. You have a guy trying to protect his kid, and you have people that are just as much of a threat as the zombies. It's so good. It's so well done. It's such an emotional movie for a zombie movie. And it's one of those that I don't feel like has been seen enough. If you have not seen Train to Busan, I think it's on Netflix right now. Please watch it. Yeah, you'll have to read it. It's in South Korean, but it's such an amazing, amazingly well done movie. And I can't wait for an eventual terrible American remake of it.
Now, I'm pretty sure that there's a prequel, an animated prequel they made. It's Train to Seoul, maybe? Or that I believe the same director did. So if you fancy Train to Busan, you can check out the prequel and I guess find out how them zombies got on that motherfucking train. That'll bring us into the 20s. At number 29, it is Robert Rodriguez's From Dusk Till Dawn, 1996, starring Harvey Keitel, George Clooney, Juliette Lewis. You talked about The Frighteners having like three separate movies to it.
Well, this is two completely different movies.
From Dusk Till Dawn is a bipolar movie if you're ever going to see one.
You have Dusk and you have Dawn.
Exactly. It starts as a great heist movie. A really
like
good...
a good crime, kidnapping, abduction thriller.
A movie that you could totally see Quentin Tarantino being involved in.
And Clooney leading.
Yes. And then it devolves into a great vampire movie as well.
I'll admit, this one did not make my list, but when I saw it was so high on yours, it's like, all right, I can't argue that. Just didn't come to my mind as a horror movie, because I think of it more as an action movie, but you can't argue it's about vampire. Like, it's they fight vampires. That's where the action comes from. It's so fun. It's goofy. It's silly. Because not only the first half is so gritty, Clooney and Quentin are just terrible dudes. And then it not only transitions from, like, crime thriller to horror movie, transitions from, like, gritty crime movie into horror comedy. Because that second half, there's a lot of fun in it.
Once you see Tom Savini with the, like, minigun on his dick, or Cheech just yelling at him as they're going in, you can tell that...
He's in it, like, what, three times?
Yeah. That Cheech, the carnival barker Cheech, describing all of the kinds of entertainment that you can get inside this establishment. But yeah, that kind of signals that there's going to be a tonal shift in the movie. Once they get in there, I think the movie's paced wonderfully throughout.
It is. It makes that transition smoothly.
But once it gets in there, the movie doesn't let up for the rest, you know, the 40 minutes or whatever it ends up being.
Especially because the first half, it's not a lot happened. It's all dialogue driven. And then transitions into this smoothly, where it goes from a Quentin Tarantino movie to a Robert Rodriguez movie.
Yes, it does.
That's exactly how to describe this.
Yes,
it goes
it does.
From, what was the car movie? Death Proof?
Yes.
To Machete. Or Planet
Yeah,
Terror.
I was thinking of Planet Terror. I mean, I think
it's probably the more apt.
Yeah, the other half of the Grindhouse duo. But certainly, I mean, Robert Rodriguez has got a couple that could fit on there. Planet Terror, I like an awful lot. But if,
I don't look at them as two different movies. That's what I hate. Grindhouse is a movie to me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I love it though. Didn't make my top 75, but that doesn't mean I don't like it.
It's another one of my favorite like movie going experiences. Yes. I thought that was a really cool experience.
And I wanted more. I just wanted it to be more successful so we could have got more, but we did get more of our number 28. It launched a franchise that is still chugging along today. The first one came out in 1980, which seems like it should have been earlier than that, right? It is directed by Sean S. Cunningham, who very nearly would be making his second appearance on this list already.
If it weren't for that pesky Ryan.
Yes, had Deep Star 6 not been decapitated. But Sean Cunningham does make the list for Friday the 13th, starring Betsy Palmer, Adrian King, and Kevin Bacon. In a decade that would be known for slashers, this lays the groundwork for who would become, I think, like the LeBron or Prince of slashers. Jason, one of those guys, is known by just the one name. Great practical effects. Speaking
of Savini.
Yeah, Tom Savini, who shows up in From Dusk Till Dawn. Savini
doesn't show up in this, but his work does.
His hand does, sort of. Spoiler alert. We're going to talk some more Tom Savini when we get higher up the list. But this was fantastic work by him. I think the first Friday movie is much different than all of the other ones.
Well, it's not a Jason movie.
Right.
It's a different movie in that it launches this franchise for a character who's he's in it, but he's not the movie where he is. Where from two on, they're Jason movies. This isn't, except for the one with the mental patient. But
I really like that one.
I know. This one, it's so good. It's one of those that if think the average person that just they know Jason and they think of Friday the 13th, they don't remember what this movie is because it's not 2 through 9.
Yeah,
it's not that movie.
We talked about Scream, like the very beginning of that movie, like when Drew Barrymore gets got. Spoiler alert, but it happens early. Who's the killer in the original Friday the 13th? She says Jason because that's what people think of.
Yeah.
But this movie, again, a little bit like Saw, we look at it as a franchise, as a universe, as a whole.
Yes.
But you have to consider, and I can't because I wasn't born in 1980, but the fact that this movie existed before the hockey mask wearing Jason and what this movie was before that.
Yeah, and I mean, you figure that the hockey mask wasn't even there till the third one. Yeah. So people know what that franchise grew into and not necessarily the roots. I like the early stuff better.
The awkward Mr. Potato Head mommy issues 2, and then 3 is where we got the Jason that we all know and love.
But we'll use this to transition into another. My top 20 had at least 3 slasher sequels. My top 40 had a handful. We didn't want to water it down and have 8 Nightmare movies and 5 Jason movies. So we have
9 Hellraisers.
Yeah. We have Friday the 13th on there. But then to recognize some others, I wanted to just kind of throw in a bonus list of just our favorite slasher sequels. Not just horror sequels, but specific slasher sequels. New Nightmare, the last of the Nightmare on Elm Streets, I love.
That, super meta.
That was in my top 15, probably. Like, I love that movie.
That's a really good movie, a really good concept.
It's Wes Craven again, where with Scream, he reinvented the genre. This, he reinvented his franchise.
And he sort of laid the groundwork for what he would do in Scream.
Yes, it's very much
in
the,
this.
It's almost the prequel to Scream in a way, where he just took, I feel like this, not as many people saw, and it didn't have the impact that it should have, so he just said, I'll just make the same movie without Jason, without Freddy.
Without Freddy, yeah.
But I love New Nightmare. Nightmare 3, Dream Warriors, I love that one. Of the sequels, other than New Nightmare, that's my favorite. Because 2 was bad, so 3 is what was needed. You like Friday the 13th 3? That was there on your list? That was pretty high?
Yeah, that one I had higher than the original.
And that's kind of where I morphed it. Like, you had 3 about where I had the original. So.
Realistically, I mean, 1 probably is a better movie, but I just think that that franchise, and I was only going to put 1 on there, as iconic as it was, I think that 3 is sort of the, it's what everybody thinks.
That's the birth of that of that franchise that everybody knows.
Right. Although sequels down the road, we both like Jason X a lot.
Jason X is one of the ones that on there. I love Freddy versus Jason. Those are completely different movies. Like Jason X turned it
yes,
into more of a satire, more of a farce of what the others
it
were.
It allowed for Freddy versus Jason.
And it, yeah.
Because
and,
those two universes, one has more of a sense of humor than the other.
Yeah, Freddy versus Jason basically ignores Jason X, but it was just silly because where do you go? You've left the camp, you've gone to New York, you go to hell. Why not space? That's the next logical progression. And then Freddy versus Jason, I wish that would have launched a franchise almost, because I feel like that was well done. They made it made sense. They had a good cast. It was fun. Those are the only ones, though. Like, I didn't put any Halloween sequels. When it comes to the slasher sequels, I don't really like a lot of them. Like, I thought Jason 9 was great. You like 4, New Beginning?
Honestly, I do like, there's something I like about almost all of them. I don't love Jason Goes to Manhattan, but I do like New Beginning. I like Final Chapter, the Tommy Jarvis.
That's the Lar Park Lincoln one, isn't it?
She's New Blood. Yeah.
I'm the same with the Nightmare ones. Like, I like something about all of the Nightmares. 2 is the hardest one to like, but I like them all. 3 and New Nightmare, I really like those. Those we haven't gotten good remakes of. I think there's the potential there. It's like adapting a comic book movie. Is both the remakes of Nightmare and Friday tried to
tweak them,
tried to make them, like, modernize them instead of just going from the source material. And if you look at comic book movies, the most successful ones are the ones that they're not direct adaptations, but they take the heart of it. They understand what people loved about them. I'm not against a good Nightmare remake if it's in the right hands. We haven't got one, and I don't know that we have the right hands. If you search our website, Movies on Up, we've done different episodes of our favorite Nightmares. We ranked them, and our favorite Friday the 13th, we ranked them. So we talk a lot more about them there. We're both big fans. I think you're more of a Friday fan. I'm more of a Nightmare fan. Those are fun episodes because we went over kills and everything. So if you want to hear us talk about the entire franchises, those episodes
exist.
Not
that we haven't kind of almost done that already.
Those episodes exist.
Yeah, just look for them. They're on there. While you're on there looking around for standalone movie episodes, you're probably going to find one, and I say probably just because I think it happened, on our number 27, which is from 1987, directed by Joel Schumacher. It is The Lost Boys, starring Jason Patrick, Diane Wiest, and Kiefer Sutherland. This portion of the list is brought to you by the letter V. What if Peter Pan had been a soulless demon? He'd probably try and have a good time like Kiefer and the boys. It's a certainly a different take on a vampire movie. Yeah, they're monsters. Yeah, they're bad.
But they're cool.
But they are kind of cool. Like, there's always been, I think people have had that fascination with being young forever, living forever. And this, I think, better than any vampire movie that had come to that point, really shows, like, vampires as being, like, James Dean kind of cool.
Kiefer in 87 is that. We did do a Lost Boys episode just last year. Just last October. So, yeah, we forget stuff sometimes. Sometimes it's easy because we've been doing this for 5 years. It was a year ago. I love this movie. I feel like there's a separate movie hidden inside it with the Frog Brothers and stuff. Like, I feel like they're almost out of place. But the climax, that third act in the house, like once the vampires come to the house, I think is one of the best climaxes in a horror movie. Like, even though this is more, probably more of a horror comedy almost. I mean, not really.
Well, the Frog Brothers kind of make it that way.
I feel like people remember this more as a horror comedy than it actually is. Like, oh yeah, I think of it as a horror comedy right away. But then you watch it and it's like, it's not as heavy on laughs as I remember.
Right.
But it's really good. The whole ending in the house, I think, is so well done.
I mentioned that we were a little bit heavy on vampire movies this week, and that is going to continue. So of our 5 movies this week, we had 3 vampire movies. And this one is by far the oldest.
Did not even realize that when I put this list together.
Oh, yeah. I noticed it. I was like, wait a minute. We got From Dusk Till Dawn. We got The Lost Boys. So we're going in reverse chronological order. We're skipping a good 65 years.
So probably the oldest movie on this list, if I had to say.
Yes, I believe it is. It is from 1922. It's Nosferatu, directed by F.W. Murnau, starring Max Schreck, Greta Schroeder, and Ruth Lanchoff. This is, like, really the infancy of film. And to have a terrifying movie when you can't do CGI, makeup effects weren't there. How the hell do you do that? Well, you have a great character actor like a Bela Lugosi or a Boris Karloff or a Lon Chaney. You have that. Before there was Bela Lugosi, there was Max Schreck. He was angular and unnatural looking, and you couple that with the odd camera angles that Murnau would employ and his usage of light and shadow, you have a guy using every tool that he had,
which were limited,
to scare the shit out of people.
And it worked. The lighting in this movie, the darkness, the use of shadows, it really is incredible to see. And this is another one of those that predates Carrie. Like we mentioned, there are kids that haven't seen Carrie that know that imagery. This is from 1922, and I think this is still very relevant in pop culture imagery. Like, you know Nosferatu when you see him. Like, that Max Schreck. Like,
and Takiya is what we do in the shadows. There was a character that was very much the Nosferatu kind of vampire. We've had in The Shadow of the Vampire, we had that Nosferatu the vampire from 79 that Werner Herzog did, which was really good. That's one of those, and I think Viggo is supposedly taking the last voyage of the Demeter, which is part of the Nosferatu, which it was spun from Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's not the same character, it's Count Orlok and not Count Dracula. But when it comes to classic movies, I think people tend to think of those Universal movies. And for good reason. Those Universal monster movies were fantastic. I don't think that we have any other on our list, but you know, they may come up.
They may make a bonus list.
In a bonus list here or there. I like them as well. But when it comes to vampire movies, as scary as Lugosi's Dracula was, or as much as I enjoy the Hammer horror of Dracula, I think they all had a bit easier of a time trying to scare audience. This movie is just unsettling to watch.
Still.
Yes.
Like, almost 100 years later. Mm-hmm. 95 years later.
Yeah. It's aged well. That, I guess, would be halftime. We've got through 50 through 26, so when we come back in a couple days, we're going to hit you with, we'll get into our top 25 and do 25 through 21, inching our way higher towards
top 20.
Yeah, towards the top 20. Pretty sure that we're going to be less vampire heavy on the next episode. I think we'd have to work a lot harder to get more.
Yeah, it's harder to make your dumb segues between them.
It is, but I imagine I'll figure out something. And to find out what kind of fantastic segues I'm going to make next episode, all you got to do is just come back in a couple days. But until then,
keep it up.